the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, we're back. I'm Stuart Clarkson, and on this edition of the Radio Today programme, we'll talk I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here and the radio people in it with Victoria Derbyshire, one of this year's contestants and a familiar voice on UK radio over the last 20 years, of course. We'll also find out about the expansion of the Jack radio brand in the UK, just announced as we release this podcast. Is the arrival of Union Jack Dance and Union Jack Rock. They're going to launch this week nationally. We'll find out more from Clive Dickens. And we also got a special report from Bella Shah on the Radio Academy Race on Audio and Radio event that took place as an online webinar this week.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Nick Hazard.
First Radio Today's founder and editor Roy Martin is here ahead of a packed edition of the Radio Today programme. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you? You've got some exciting news of your own this week, Roy.
That was a quick pleasantries out of the way. Yes, I have indeed. I have some exciting news of myself. Which exciting news do you want?
Oh, is there more than one bit of exciting news?
Always exciting news. It's just the ones I can share with you. Oh. Shall I talk about radio travel news?
That was the thing I was thinking of. What's radio travel news?
Radio travel news is not a radio station, because it sounds a bit like one, but it's basically a service for radio stations to travel news on their own radio station. So this new company called Radio Travel News will supply a 45-second audio bulletin full of traffic news, either for your area or for the whole of the UK. And it's launching in January.
Wow, exciting. So this is you and Andrea Day, ex of Traffic Link and Inrix.
That's right, yeah. So two of us got together and came up with this idea. Well, to be honest, it's been in my head for years, but I've never got round to it. But I thought, you know, during a pandemic when nobody's actually on the roads anymore, it would be the best time to launch it. So that's what we're doing. January the 11th, if you want more details, radiotravelnews.com, of course. And we look forward to serving you with travel news.
Excellent. Have you paid for this advertisement on your own podcast?
Well, there's one good thing about owning a radio industry website. The marketing costs for any new businesses is going to be quite low, which is good news. So no, I haven't paid for it. It's all. Okay. Do I need to disclaim that?
Yeah, no, I think that's fine. No, it's all right. It's not Ofcom regulated, this podcast. It's fine. What's the interest been like? You've had a lot of people getting in touch with you, I presume, saying, yes, we want to take your travel news.
Yeah, well, we just went public on Tuesday this week. We've had quite a few emails and lots of tweets and things like that. People wishing as well. We've had about a dozen people sign up already, which is good. We need 468 to actually break even. So we've got a long way to go. We're hoping for that to happen over the coming months and years. You never know. Do you want some travel news on your radio station, by the way?
I'm good for travel news at the moment, thanks. But yeah, I'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, that's the thing with this. It's not for everybody, because we're going to do regional bulletins. But if you're on the edge of a region, then it's probably no good for you, because they're going to have the big stories from the main cities in the regions. So it's not for everybody. It's certainly not for tiny stations, or yours is a good example because you're just serving three towns. Mm. So you wouldn't want to take the Yorkshire Bulletin because it'd be full of stuff for Leeds, Bradford and Sheffield and places like that. So it's no good for you. Nope. Until we start doing maybe ultra local bulletins, and then, you know, you can give us some money.
No, it sounds very exciting. I'm looking forward to it, and good luck with that when it launches in the new year. And something else that's very exciting is all these applications for small scale DAB multiplexes. Do you think we got more applications in the end to Ofcom than we thought we would get?
I thought there would be more, actually. I thought there'd be at least two for each region, but some places have just got one. There's 45 altogether, gone for 25 areas. Some have five applications, and some have one. So, it's going to be very interesting to see which kind of application is going to be favoured by Ofcom, whether it's the community radio station that's teamed up with an experienced DAB operator, or whether it's a company that runs loads of them across the country and has no particular connection with the area. It's going to be interesting, and everybody is looking forward to finding out what's happening in your region with DAB. You're Bradford, aren't you?
Yeah, there was a few. I think were there four applicants for the Bradford multiplex, something like that, and there's Leeds as well. So yeah, there's hotly contested, not like the areas where, as you say, there's just one applicant for them. But it'll be interesting to see. I think the Bradford ones, there's quite a few different groups who've gone for it. So we'll see what happens. That's the nearest one to me. I don't think I'll pick it up where I am, but there we go.
Yeah, interesting. And we'll hopefully get to know within the next few months who's winning all those DAB licenses. And good luck to everybody.
I'm getting withdrawal symptoms not having I'm a Celebrity watch on the telly every night at the moment. I don't know about you, but after following it every night for 3 weeks, I mean, what do I watch on the telly now? So massive well done to Jordan from Radio 1, a runner-up in this year's I'm a Celebrity in the Castle. I know you started watching it at the beginning of it, Roy. Did you catch it with any towards the end as well?
I didn't, actually. No, I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes and that was it. Obviously, you can't move from hearing about it on the news, so I kept up to date with who's doing what and who's winning in the end. So yeah, well done to Jordan, who was on Radio 1 Breakfast on Monday. He needs to come good on his promise to appear on this show, obviously, maybe yes, in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'm guessing his DMs are a bit full at the moment, but I have followed up the messaging that I was having with him back in mid-October to say, hey, how about coming on our podcast then? So you never know, we might get him on at some point. And a lot of the tabloid stories are now saying Jordan's going to get a promotion and he won't just be the weekend boy on Radio 1. His agent and people apparently talking to Radio 1 about getting a more high-profile show, and he's probably going to get some TV jobs and stuff. So I think for his career, it's done wonders.
Well, if he doesn't get any more shows at the BBC, there's always Virgin Radio, which is where everybody else seems to be going right now.
Yeah, true. Well, you mentioned Jordan was on with Greg on a Monday morning. Let's have a little listen to that. And then after that, we're going to talk to Victoria Derbyshire.
I was last minute. Like, that blows my mind. Yeah, so I got a call to say, not this year, maybe next year. And then I thought, oh, right, great, okay. Still fantastic, though. It's a show I love. And then I got a call back 2 weeks later saying, do you want to do it? Someone's dropped out. I was like, yeah, all right. And then I had 2 days to do everything. The medical, the psychiatry test, the everything, the filming. I did it in 48 hours.
This is amazing. This is literally...
So it never, very nearly never happened.
Literally supply teacher for I'm a Celeb as well.
Yeah.
The Radio 1 supply teacher, I'm a Celeb, but no longer, more. There's going to be like, we're going to have BC before Castle and after Castle.
Yeah.
Because it's a different Jordan. Everything's now, that's it, you're no longer the supply teacher.
My agent's just texting saying, stop talking.
So yeah, quite a lot of radio people and podcasters in there this year. G does a podcast, Jordan from Radio 1, Ruthie from Magic, Vernon, ex-Radio 1 and Radio X, of course, and Victoria Derbyshire, who's with us on the podcast. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm all right, but more to the point, how are you? Have you recovered from those couple of weeks in Wales?
Oh, God, I am still buzzing. Honestly, I've found it really hard to sleep since I've come back. I've probably had most nights 3 hours sleep. I'm just wired because I had the best time ever, which I can't believe I'm saying. But honestly, I loved absolutely every single second of it. I just kind of went for it.
And your sleep patterns were a bit weird because they made you stay up late at night, because we obviously saw you live doing the evictions and stuff and the picking who was going to do the trial at 9-10 o'clock at night. And then you had to do the trials and then you had to eat. So it was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
It was really late. Oh, two was early. I mean, more like 3 to 4 o'clock every single night. But then we slept till, we think, because obviously we didn't have a clock, 11, half 11-ish. So yeah, we just shifted everything back basically. And you do get used to that. Your body clock does adjust.
And when you first arrived then on our screens, you turned up on the cliff and you spotted Jordan. Did you know he was going to be there?
I didn't know for sure because nothing is confirmed. And I mean, I've seen reports, you know, like I had for many of the people actually. But that last week before we go in, all our phones and laptops and tablets are removed from us. And access to British television. So you've got no way of tuning into anything to get absolute confirmation. So it was only when I saw him on the clifftop that I knew for sure, obviously, he was in it.
And how was that? Had you seen him recently, or was it kind of, 7 years since he worked on your show?
No. I saw him in Broadcasting House maybe, 3 months ago.
Oh, okay.
Just bumped into each other, said hi. He asked me how my boys were, asked him how he was doing. Obviously, I follow him on Twitter anyway, so I know what kind of stuff he's doing on his show. So yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but obviously seeing him in this environment was totally different.
And he did all right for himself.
Oh my gosh. I I did think he was going to win. I've got to be honest. He just changed so much in those 2 weeks. And he was funny and he was himself and he's a laugh and he's sweet and lovely and all those things. I knew it was between him and G, and I just couldn't call it at the last moment just before Anton Deck announced it. But seriously, for those two and Werner to be in the final, it just all gorgeous, special, wonderful people.
And you all just got along. You know, in previous series of I'm a Celebrity, you've probably seen them. People fall out. People get, you know, ratty with each other. But there was none of that. It was good.
Honestly, there was no one who was an idiot. And there's usually at least one. Obviously, I'm being polite here. I know it probably sounds pathetic and cheesy and earnest, but no one was a prat. No one had any edge. There was no side to anyone. We just had a laugh. And I just don't think, from the producer's point of view, it's a massive TV operation, you know, on that castle every day, on that site, there are about 500 people working on it. Wow. But all the people who have the experience of bringing a cast, as they call it, together, they can't know what we're like when we're really knackered, what we're like when we're really hungry. And even when we were really knackered and hungry, we still really liked each other and got on and mostly laughed. And I know Piers Morgan said, oh, it was, you know, you're all sycophantic and this, that, and the other. I'm afraid that's just how it was. Tough, you know? And you can't fake that because the cameras are on you 24 hours a day. And after 24 hours, you forget the cameras are there. So it was genuine what you saw.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with so many radio people, they, you know, generally every series the last 18 years, how long it's been going, they've had radio people in there. And you can't hide when you're on the radio, especially, you know, the radio that you've done where you're doing a speech show for several hours every day.
Yeah.
You can't hide in that. So they make good people to be on a TV show like that.
I think it's true. Well, you know, it's true. Anyone who loves radio knows it's true that you can't hide on the radio. You have to be yourself. And that's what listeners appreciate, I think, because you know, that's how you build that connection. And so when you go into this, you very quickly, you forget that it's a TV show. You've got no idea what's going out. You've got no idea how it's being edited. And you just are yourself, like you are at home or on the radio. Although I think probably I was... Obviously, there's some bits of me, like the swearing and the being daft, that I haven't necessarily done on the radio or TV over the years. But in that environment, I just was myself.
I think the thing I'd miss most, being a news junkie, and you're probably the same, is not knowing what's going on in the outside world.
It's
not
so weird.
You know, being able to follow Twitter.
Yeah.
So what was the first thing when you got out there and you got reunited with your phone? What did you want to catch up on?
Well, the first thing I did, obviously, was ring home. And the first thing the boys and Mark knew, my husband knew, I would be wanting to know what the news was. Literally, the first thing they said to me was, there's going to be another Gavin and Stacey Christmas special this year. So, and then gradually they filled me in with the other stuff. You know, there's a vaccine and, you know, whatever else. But that was the first thing they said to me, which I was obviously very happy about. But the first few days, I found it really hard not to have access to my phone, not to be in control of what I was consuming and what I was watching and what I was reading. And not knowing what was going on was bizarre. And you just have to give it up. You have to let go, because you haven't got control. So one of the ways to enjoy it is to just be kind of liberated, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. And obviously all the PR people say, I'm a Celebrity, it's great for people's careers. You'll probably get lots of offers to do stuff now, and you can perhaps do things that you hadn't thought you might be able to do before, and get offers to do things that, you know, a bit more exciting. Not that what you have done already isn't exciting, but you know what I mean? You know, are there things that you want to do now that you think the publicity of this will help you to do in your career?
I have no idea if the publicity will help me or not. I mean, it could actually harm me. Who knows? There are loads. Obviously, I love news. I love talking to people. People's stories are what gets me going. Those are the things, the stuff I do on a daily basis. That's what I get up in the morning for. That's the most enjoyable stuff. So I want to carry on thinking about ways to engage, you know, the underserved audience for BBC News. I really would like to do a podcast on breast cancer. You know, Jess and I had a conversation in there, you know, and she was asking me brilliant open questions from a young woman's point of view. And so many young women have got in touch with me since then. Mm-hmm. I'd love to do an agony aunt column. I would like to do, you know, the panorama that we made earlier this year. We were very pleased with the impact that had. That was about domestic abuse in lockdown. I'd love to do more immersive documentaries, author documentaries, just loads of stuff.
And so many years you had doing a daily radio show. Mm-hmm. Would you go back to doing that one day, perhaps?
Oh, I'd love to do radio again. I mean,
there's lots of radio execs listen to this podcast. That's all I'm
saying. Well, oh my gosh, I'd absolutely love to. And I'll tell you, Jordan and I spent a lot of time talking about radio in there. Five Live and Radio 1 in particular, but also other radio, because we listen to loads of radio stations. None of that, I'm told, ever made it to air, because frankly, it'd be quite boring for a national audience. But honestly, we talked about radio a lot, and with Vernon as well, because he's done a lot of radio, and just how much we loved it, and funny moments, and, you know, powerful callers, and moments that make you stop when you're in the car. We did spend a lot of time talking about radio.
Oh, it's a shame that didn't make it onto the screens. We'd love to watch that. Never mind. Right, well, it's lovely to talk to you, Victoria, and thank you for kind of giving us a big lift at the end of the year, because it's been a fairly crap year. So to have that kind of positivity on the TV for 3 weeks has been brilliant.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Stuart. And honestly, it was amazing. And thank you for wanting to hear more about it.
Ah, well, lovely lady. That's my old Five Live colleague, Victoria Derbyshire, here on the Radio Today programme. And yeah, it was lovely to catch up with her, and great to know that they were all talking about radio in the castle as well. Quite a lot of radio people in it this year.
I mean, you'll know from watching it, but I'm guessing what she said is true. None of the talks actually made it to air.
There was a little bit where they were talking about kind of what's the biggest mistake you've made kind of on telly or on the radio and stuff. So there was a little bit of that kind of made it on, that Jordan was talking about some radio interviews and stuff that he'd done where he'd made a bit of a faux pas. So that made it on, but it wasn't anything kind of geeky about radio.
Fair enough.
Right, let's talk about some other stories this week before we hear about an exciting new brand extension. Well, there's a kind of mini brand extension going on in Bradford with the launch of BBC Radio Bradford. I tried to tune in on Medium Wave in Keighley, but it was a bit crackly and hissy. I had a little bit of a listen online. Have you heard any of BBC Radio Bradford, Roy?
Well, as usual, I've listened to the first few hours and then probably won't listen to it ever again, as is the way these days. Yeah, heard some of it. A bit confused, really, as to who it was aimed at. I'm guessing it's aimed at everybody and anybody in Bradford, which ranges from your nan, who's 90, right through to the cool kids who go to university and places like that. So I wonder if they know who it's aimed at, because the presenter who is on there was talking very, very street. She's obviously very young and cool, and saying, like, get on the floor and things like that. And then playing some oldies music. So I don't know. I don't know if they know who it's aimed at. I'd like to find out. Have you heard it?
I've heard little bits. But yeah, the music that they're playing seems to be the same playlist as the main BBC Radio lead station. And I heard a link where the presenter was talking about the first time that he'd watched Mamma Mia. And he'd thought all the songs were very similar to something that he'd heard before, and thought they'd been ripped off somewhere. So clearly didn't know much about the music of ABBA, and was openly admitting that on the radio.
Yeah. And then one of the first guests was Gareth Gates. I thought, he's not quite a target, but then I realised that he's from Bradford, so
he is.
That kind of made a bit more sense.
We don't know how long it's going to last for. I think it's kind of penciled in to be on till March. It's supposedly something to do with the COVID pandemic, obviously, providing a hyper-local service for Bradford from the BBC. But, you know, who knows what might happen with it as it develops.
Yeah, and of course, Wolverhampton and Sunderland are on the way next year, and then more places as well, apparently.
There are some changes coming to Greatest Hits Radio in the new year. Just announced last week, Jenny Powell is joining to do Weekend Breakfast. They've got a change on their weekday afternoon lineup as well, with Debbie Mack, who's most recently been on Hits and has been covering quite a bit on Greatest Hits over the last few months as well. She moves into Andy Crane's weekday afternoon slot. Andy Crane moves on to The Late Show, Alex Lester to Overnights. And that's your lineup for 2021 on Greatest Hits Radio.
Yeah, which means Sean is leaving, and also Tony is going to Weekend Overnights for now. And then who knows what he's going to be doing. So, yeah, big changes. And still nothing on the rumoured breakfast show change, which I'm sure Simon Ross is very pleased about, but that's an ongoing rumor, isn't it, that they're just waiting to hire a supposed celeb for the big show.
We'll find out. Yeah, who knows what 2021 might bring. You know, we've had a lot of changes in presenters moving between radio groups and BBC and all sorts this year, haven't we, as well, recently, with Dev going to Heart and Mr. Jam going to Capital and things like that. So there's been a lot of movement between Graham Norton, obviously, starting in the new year on Virgin as well. So maybe 2021 will bring more changes to presenter lineups all over the place.
Yeah, who knows?
Online now, you can read about a new Radio Centre report just out, Commercial Radio Beyond the Bubble. It says more than 12 million people rely on commercial radio as their principal source of information. That's on radiotoday.co.uk. And also you can find out about the South Asian Audio Creatives and their campaign to get more South Asian voices heard on UK radio. They've done a bit of a tot-up of how many people from South Asian backgrounds are on UK radio national stations at the moment, and it's not very many. And we got more coming up on that topic, actually, from this week's Race on Audio and Radio event held by the Radio Academy. A report from that later on in the podcast.
Lots of events as well happening at the moment online. I've been watching a couple of these. Radio TechCon was last week. Radio TechCon was good. The Audio Production Awards was a radio show, which, you know, we are radio after all, so that's good. That was a really good show with Jeremy and Snoochie Shy. That was quite a good show. It was supposed to be 90 minutes, but it went on for quite a bit longer, as these events sometimes do. But that was good. And there are a few Radio Centre events taking place as well.
I watched listened to a bit of the Audio Production Awards as well. I thought it was nice how they had the winners on the phone, lined up on the phone to chat to them as soon as they announced it. That was a nice way of doing it, I thought.
Yeah, they must have had them on speed dial because they came on straight away.
Yeah, it's the magic of radio. And lots of people I've seen tweeting, getting very excited about getting their Radio Today wall planners in the post. I've even got one that came here to the Rumbolt Radio studio this week.
Have you still got it?
Yeah, it's here. It's in its envelope still.
Fantastic. Are you going to... Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Are you going to stick it up or are you just going to leave it there?
I'm not sure yet. I also had a text from Radio's Chris Mason, who received one addressed to Chris Mason, BBC Westminster, and he was very excited about that.
Oh, they are getting everywhere. If you want one, by the way, radiotoday.co.uk/yes please. Just fill in the form and I shall personally nip to the post office with your own copy.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Well, thank you very much. We should get on with the rest of the show. We're going to hear from Clive Dickens in a minute about the expansion of the Jack brand in the UK.
What? Again? I'm still waiting for the Northwest regional version.
I don't think that's going to happen.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
This is the Radio Today programme, and now an early Christmas present for listeners across the country, getting two new radio stations on the SDL second National Digital Radio Multiplex this week, Union Jack Rock and Union Jack Dance. Clive Dickens is with us, co-founder of the Jack Radio Group. Hi, Clive.
Hi, Stuart. Great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, this is exciting. Just a couple of weeks to go to Christmas and a nice Christmas present for listeners everywhere. Tell us why, first of all, you decided to launch these new services.
Yeah, so... We've now have a strategy around regional radio and national radio. We've got six stations in the group, the three regional stations broadcasting from our Oxford studio to the Thames Valley market. And we, a number of years ago, introduced our first national station as Union Jack, playing only the best British music. And we've now decided to add two additional national stations to that. So after the success of Union Jack, we decided that let's keep going. And when we were looking for a gap in the market, it became really clear to us that British music was extremely popular. And considering that we had sort of decades of history to go from, it seems odd that we would just have one. Why not have two? Then all of a sudden we decided to have three. Not dissimilar to the decision that we took back in Golden Square in 2010, 10 years ago, when we started the trend of decade stations with Absolute 80s, and having three British music only stations gives us a real clear gap in the market and actually a market in the gap. So we're really excited.
And the obvious question is, you know, is there a gap in the market for a dance station and a rock station? There are lots of dance stations already. Capital have got one, Heart have got one, Radio 1 have got one now as well on Sounds. And, you know, Planet Rock, Absolute Classic Rock, the list goes on. Yes, yours are going to be playing British music, but is there enough people who like dance music and rock music to want to listen to these?
Yeah, so all of our indications suggest that there's a significant gap in the market, particularly when you add in British comedy as well, because it's we'll be highlighting and British comedy across the eras, and the history of British dance music and the history of British rock music is undeniable. And in a very crowded market, particularly if you take the sort of London market as an example, I think there are now well over 100 broadcast services that a consumer can sample, let alone the hundreds of online services available to that consumer as well. So in that crowded market, you really have to have something that immediately attracts the attention of someone who's scanning the dial or thinking about what they listen to or creating a habit. And you also, the naming is really important, but also, you know, what am I going to get when I hit this preset or hit this, click on this play button or turn this radio on? And thankfully, British music is hugely dominant in the world still. And, you know, I'm talking to you today from Australia, and I think, you know, 20 or 30% of the music I heard on my drive in this morning was British. And it's bizarrely underplayed by British radio. It's we almost don't even realize how much great music out there isn't getting played. And, you know, obviously from a station like Union Jack, we are taking a pretty broad approach to our universe as well, which is something that we have been doing as a team for decades. So it's not the same old songs. It's going to be have quite a deep catalog, and we're excited about how well Union Jack has gone, and we're pretty confident the two new services will add to that really strongly.
Yeah, conversely, we're playing a lot of Kylie on British radio here, so that kind of flip side of what's going on in Australia. Yeah,
exactly.
You mentioned, you know, what the name of the radio station is when people are flicking, when they have got so much choice on their DAB radio now. At the moment, you've got a station called Jack Radio on there, which doesn't really say what it does, and actually it's playing female artists, so that's going to disappear as part of these changes.
Yeah, it's... So Jack Radio has been around for just under 2 years, it's over a year, and is very distinctive. It's got about best part of 150,000 weekly cues, so it's done really well. And the idea of playing female-only artists was really, really popular with the audience. But I think that one of the biggest challenges for it is that we felt on reflection, when we had the opportunity to launch a third national, as they bring in our total to six, we then said, okay, so we've now got this spectrum. What are we going to do with it? And we had a number of different ideas. We talked to a lot of consumers about it, did some research, and the British music idea just wasn't done. So we were pretty keen to go, right, okay, we should do another British music station. And then that increasingly made the Jack Radio national station not actually part of the family, right? So again, going back to that Golden Square experience and looking at the success of stations like Kiss and Heart, crowded marketplaces, you've got to have real simplicity to cut through. So it wasn't that Jack Radio wasn't successful. It was. I mean, there were, you know, we were pretty pleased with 150,000 Q. But we needed to acknowledge that that sort of suite of three was likely to be more successful than that. And so therefore that format, I mean, maybe it'll come back at some point in the future. And what we find is there's a very large correlation between what UJ Dance and the Jack Radio audience. So we're pretty hopeful that a large chunk of that 144,000 Q will migrate over to UJ Dance, because the feeling of what we call UJ Dance and Jack Radio again be very, very similar.
And you talked about the success of the kind of British comedy element of Union Jack Radio. There's going to be comedy on Union Jack Dance and Union Jack Rock as well. And that's, you know, you're building quite a lot of built programming that are airing on these stations now, and quiz shows and podcasts to go with them and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so we've got our own stable of broadcasters and comedians that we commission. So the multi-award-winning Josh Berry, who does a fantastic program called Fake News and a Fake News podcast. And Josh is a phenomenally talented impressionist. And we've always had writers in the Jack Radio group who write all of the topical satirical liners on the stations as well. And then we also license audio from other broadcasters and content libraries. So all of that audio you hear between the songs is licensed, and you know, we think that's really, really popular with our audience. And in fact, we did some research recently, because obviously none of us had Radar for a while, and actually synonymous with British comedy, the brand is cutting through almost as equally strong as British music. So We've also invested in comedy festivals, and we work with the Leicester Comedy Festival, and we're working with others. And really, if you take it in sort of two parts, only British music and only British comedy, these are two very, very strong differentiators in the market.
Interesting you mention, obviously, there being no Rage Hour at the moment. We know from various studies that listening habits have changed quite a lot this year during the pandemic, and radio seems to have benefited over music streaming services, with people wanting that content, which fits in with what you're just saying about the comedy content. But, you know, what have you seen in terms of trends to listening to your stations, to the Jack stations?
We've sort of, as a team, sort of pioneered audio streaming for decades. And I think back in 1995, when there was a battle between Golden Square and Leicester Square of getting the first ever monoreel.com stream up, I think Virgin, John Ousby and James Cridlin sort of beat us over at Leicester Square by a couple of weeks, literally a couple of weeks. So going back to then, 1995, God, it was all the way through to when we launched InStream on Absolute Radio, and pioneered podcasting, Absolute Radio as well, in terms of podcasting at scale. Always considered ourselves to be sort of early adopters of those new technologies and smart speakers and Sonoses. And we've therefore seen the growth and then some of all of those devices. I think most broadcasters globally have seen an explosion of listening through smart speakers, and we're no exception. That's been a huge growth. And obviously listening through radio player and other forms of browser activity. So, you know, it suits the way that audiences are now operating their busy lives. Audio on demand also has gone up enormously. So I think although we'd very much like Rage to come back as soon as possible, we have to acknowledge that Rage has to keep its field workers safe, and those field workers going door to door to place those diaries, or at least to pre-qualify the people who complete online diaries, is really, really important for safety. So what it's actually done, it's made all of the radio groups focus on things that they're inside their influence. So I think sitting here in Australia, working with the Jack Radio Group and also sort of living and working in Australia, it's fascinating to see in the last 12 months, all of a sudden, every radio group all of a sudden discover the internet. It's like for years and years, I've been inside these groups saying, you know, there is another way that people listen to radio, you know, and with, you know, some success in our own areas, but I've always been pretty frustrated by some of the big groups, but actually not so much anymore in the last 12 months, because there is no Rage Hour. I've noticed that all of the big groups all of a sudden have been rapidly improving their audio on demand, their in-stream broadcasting, their ad insertion, even their social video usage as well. So I actually think that when Rage Hour does return, which I'm hopeful it will do by next spring, then we will actually come out of it as an industry stronger, because we would have put the listener first for the first time in terms of distributing our audio in the way that the listener wants to listen to it, rather than distributing it in the way the industry wants to measure it. And I think that's a really, really important point that we've learned through this pandemic.
Yeah, I guess had the pandemic happened 25 years ago, when all of the listening wasn't online, you wouldn't be able to see the trend. So what you can see now is, you know, where you are now with your online listening at the moment compared to this time last year and that kind of thing. So that does help you get a picture of how the audiences are going across your different stations.
Absolutely. And you know, even in the innovation around in-car audio, in-car streaming has now exploded, which is also an opportunity and a threat for commercial radio. I think the way that Spotify are developing your daily drive with some speech content and your favorite music, I think is a fascinating example of innovation that's going on in this space. So we're in this battle for airtime, as we always were. We're not really competing with each other as radio groups or radio stations. We're competing for things that people can listen to. And that's really sharpening everybody's skills in this area, so and the listener benefits, which is great.
Absolutely. Well, lots of luck with the new station launches, and I think the Jack brand in the UK has had a bit of a refresh as well. You've given the logos a lick of paint, is that right?
Oh yes, you know, it's it's always fun when an audio brand changes its visual logo, yes, it's I think, you know, as you line all the six stations up together, the three regionals and the three nationals, you're starting to see sort of 15 years of different designs there. So I think we finally got them part of a portfolio, modernized them, and it's you know, just an important step. But overall, most of our investment always goes into the content and the marketing and the listeners. So yes, it's thanks for noticing.
And I must say as well, for anybody who hasn't heard it, the David Lloyd Conversations podcast episode that he did with you looking through your career is fascinating and well worth a listen. I learned lots of stuff about the 80s and 90s in radio that I just didn't know about the history of. So I'd recommend that. I know you were cringing a bit about talking about yourself and your own career, but I think it's a fascinating listen.
Yeah, it was a joy to record. David's a genius. And it was what was interesting, you know, my parents listening to it was interesting. And but then the number of people who sort of contact you after having one of those things up on, you know, I've not really done one before. So like countless people from my life contacted me for a chat, which has been wonderful just to hear from people after many, many decades. So I won't be rushing to do another one, but it was great to do that one. Thank you for listening to it.
We'll keep looking to the future, don't worry. Nice to catch up with you, Clive. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Joe.
As Clive Dickens on the Radio Today programme, a reminder about Clean Feed could come in handy over the festive season for you. You could be doing outside broadcasts from Santa's Grotto, wearing your masks, of course, or an interview or co-hosting a show or a podcast from somewhere different to usual, maybe the back bedroom at your auntie's in your Christmas bubble. Clean Feed is designed for radio and podcasters, and it's really simple to connect live audio over the web. The quality is really good, and you can even record within your browser. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started with. It'll just take 30 seconds or so to get signed up and trying it out, doing your first live interview, recording for your show, whatever it might be. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net. Now, earlier this year, the Radio Academy launched its RAW initiative. That stands for Race on Audio and Radio. It's a series of 5 webinars designed to provide a platform for people of colour to talk about their lived experiences in the UK radio and audio sectors. Now, the first 2 events in August focused on the stories of black British people in the industry and included the likes of Trevor Nelson, Lorna Clark and Darren Bent. In this last week, the attention of RAW has turned to the South Asian community. And here with a report about the Radio Academy event, it's Bella Shah.
Last week, the Radio Academy held a Race on Audio and Radio webinar. We discussed the British South Asian experience within the industry. Session 1 focused on talent, those who are in front of the mic. The panel shared their stories and experiences, both positive and negative. Panelists included Bobby Friction from BBC Asian Network, Anushka Arora from Sunrise Radio, and Neve Spencer from KISS 100. Although Neve has enjoyed a successful career at KISS, she told us it wasn't easy getting work in mainstream radio.
I went to every Asian radio station imaginable because they were actually the only stations that hired me. I did approach a lot of mainstream stations and they would always say, "We don't have an Asian show for you. We have no interest in putting on an Asian show at this time. Why don't you try such and such?"
Neve was given that feedback despite the fact she wasn't looking for an Asian show. Bobby Friction believes that part of the problem lies with stereotyping.
I've seen this not just happen to me, it's happened to nearly everyone I know within the South Asian industry, especially when it comes to entertainment, is that the establishment itself has a cliched idea of what South Asians should do. And woe betide anybody who steps out of that.
Anushka Arora shared her frustrations at the limitations around entertainment reporting on Bollywood subject matter.
I sit down and I think to myself, why can't I do this on a Sky? Why can we not have a Bollywood segment on a Sky News programme? Because Shah Rukh Khan goes to Sky, Hrithik Roshan goes to Sky, they all go to Sky News for their interviews when they come to the UK. So why is it that I can't interview them at Sky? Or why is it that we can't interview them at a BBC Radio 1 or whatever else it is?
Our youngest member of the panel, Bali Singh, co-host of the Saturday Night Side Eye podcast, shared his experience.
Yeah, we've done like panelist work on like Asian Network and we did a one-off show for BBC Sounds. But our podcast is nothing to do with being Asian. And I feel like opportunities, if we go looking for opportunities, it's like, oh, okay, so you're Asian. Can you tell us about Asian music or weirdly about struggle? So you wear a turban. Did you ever get bullied? Or, oh, tell us about arranged marriages. I don't listen to Bongo music. I'm Spice Girls, Beyonce, pop music galore. But when someone sees that, they're like, oh, okay, no, we don't want you to talk about that.
Sangeeta Pillai is from the award-winning Masala podcast, and she spoke to us about being booked on panels solely because she's Asian.
There's a lot of, oh yeah, you're here, you're representing a certain section of the population, so just say the thing and move on. But I don't. It makes people really uncomfortable, but I think that's kind of what we're here to do. So the tick boxing sometimes works because it gets you in front of audiences, but I'm not sure it always works for the people who invite you.
We had a question in from a viewer about why BBC Asian Network talent weren't crossing over to Radio 1. Bobby shared his thoughts on that.
There's so many brilliant people who work at the BBC. There's so many talented people. I don't think anyone there's thinking about this stuff or doing it on purpose. I don't think people are racist. We have a generation of gatekeepers who just can't think outside the box, who aren't consciously trying to stop people. They just don't really want you to do that stuff. We've been painted as being a community that aren't entertaining, aren't in entertainment. We don't want to be like them. And that's why those jumps aren't being made, because the gatekeepers, even though they're not doing it consciously, can't see you in that position.
What would you say to upcoming talent about joining the Asian Network? Should they join if they don't love just Asian music?
When I looked over at the Asian Network, I saw it as a station that celebrated South Asian music, right? I never saw it as a station that had to cover every music, every cast, every belief, every problem. For me, the Asian Network is something to be celebrated. And I think if you can use the Asian Network for some experience, it's not going to hurt you. When we talk about these problems, they're not the problems the Asian Network's created. The problems are coming from the establishment.
So plenty to take in there and a lot of work to be done before change is seen and heard. You can watch both sessions featuring talent working in front of the mic and behind the scenes on the Radio Academy's website. I'll leave you with some parting thoughts from Bali.
Years ago, when like Rishi Rich were big and he had all that Bollywood music, it was like the flavour of the time. And I feel like I'm constantly clock watching, like, when is our time going to come again?
Bali Singh there, ending that report from Bella Shah for the Radio Today programme about the Radio Academy's Raw webinars. And as she said, you can watch all four of them on the Radio Academy website. I've been told to look out for events in January as well about the disabled experience in UK radio. And then in February, the discussion moves to the LGBTQI plus experience, so look out for those. Thanks for listening this week. Thanks to Bella Shah and to Sam Bailey at the Radio Academy. Thanks also to my other guests, Clive Dickens and Victoria Derbyshire and Radio Today's Roy Martin. Join us next week when Dee Ford will be on the Radio Today programme to look back at 2020, a year of big change and integration at Bauer, and we'll also talk about how the pandemic has affected commercial radio.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.